You're listening to Unreal Bluegrass.
Welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass. So we'll get right into our conversation with Ronnie Reno, which I guarantee you're going to enjoy. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass. It's been way too long. Ronnie Reno is back again, and Ronnie, I'm just so excited you had some time to chat about all the things you got going on. Plus, I just miss you, guy.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Steve. And, of course, it's great to be back with you also. I know we get started talking, and ain't no telling what's going to fall out. It's like carrying three dice in your pocket. You know, you get to shaking them, and you don't know if all three's going to come out or if just two of them are going to come out.
You are always a great guest. In the first hour, the audience has already heard Lower Than Lonesome, which is from Lessons Learned. I think that's one of my favorite songs we talked about. They've also heard one of your live in concert songs and one of your gospel songs. And I also put a cut in from Pioneers and Legends, and I mentioned all these things in the first hour that I dropped this in because one of the reasons I wanted to talk, not the only reason, but one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is all this new digital output. I have all these new things that are being re-released or maybe being released for the first time digitally. And I just want to talk about what's going on. We can go through some of the listings and what, but they're very, very extensive, and they're great. I've got them all. They're great music. So what's going on with these digital things?
Well, as you well know, I retired from the road back in 2019, and so I don't have any reason at all to reproduce hard CDs or do anything like that, which is the way we used to archive our music and keep it in history and so forth and so on. And so nowadays you have this digital format that you can put it out there and it's there forever. And, of course, it's like re-releasing. And, of course, it's a la carte also. You can go on and just, you can get one song, or you can go on and get all 12 of the songs, or you can do it in which way you want to. You can pay a monthly fee, and you've got thousands upon thousands of thousands of things out there that you can listen to. And, of course, a lot of people like to, you know, they like the songs they like, they like the artists they like, and so what I'm doing, my catalog is extremely deep. Through the years, I have just acquired through my audio and through my video, acquired quite a library. And I never will forget, I was talking to Mac Wiseman one day, and Mac said, "Ron," he said, "I've still got 300 and some songs that I've never, that I know," and he said, "I'd like to sing them." He said, "I know nobody knows these songs," and he said, "I'd like to sing them and record them just so they would have them after I'm not here anymore." And I got to thinking about that, and my goodness, of course, Mac recorded many songs, but I'm sort of the same situation. I have this wonderful archive of music, and I wanted to archive them. In other words, I wanted them there for generations upon generations to hear the Pioneers and Legends of Bluegrass, and to hear my father, and to hear Mac Wiseman, and to hear Lester Flatt, and to hear all these people that I've got the only audio of that version of what they done. And so the digital format fit me perfect, where they were able to go to Spotify and all the platforms through digital.
So then what I have is pretty extensive, but what you're telling me, and I will go through a few of them real quick. You've got the Front Porch Gospel album, you've got a concert, in concert album, a portfolio, Lessons Learned, which you and I have talked about in the past, Pioneers and Legends, I've got some of the Mac Wiseman stuff, Lester Flatt Legends, and then your father and Red Smiley. So this is nowhere near the end of what you're going to put out on digital, right? You've got a lot of stuff you're going to put out there.
Oh, yeah, I do. Fortunately, when you're doing digital, you don't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel. Basically, it's there for you. You just got to put it in a different format and remaster it and so forth and so on. So it's easily done. And my gosh, I've got lots of things that will be coming out, you know, the rest of the year. Oh, I'm doing another gospel thing called Sunday Morning in the Valley, which features Mac Wiseman and a whole host of others. And of course, Mac and I put out a thing called Legacy, Mac Wiseman, and I'm going to put the audio out on that. And Super Pickers of Bluegrass I'm doing with all my brothers and I, and a bunch of different things. I'm doing a Christmas thing that I did just with acoustic guitars, and of course I'm doing some things. Hopefully, I'll be able to share with you a little bit later on as we go on.
Oh yeah.
So we're busily.
with the catalog that you have, it must be a full time job, just not only just converting and making them available, but trying to decide what you're going to put out in order.
Oh, it is, and I haven't even really touched the catalog, the deep catalog yet. I've just sort of, this is just sort of the stuff I can get to in a hurry, you know. So, and it's sort of fun to do it, to go back and listen to. I know I was listening to Lester the other day when he did the Folsom Prison Blues, and I had never really listened that deep into it until I basically remastered it and went back and listened to it. And I got so tickled because there's things that you hear now that you didn't hear several years ago or years ago. I know Josh Graves was taking a break on it, and I heard Lester holler in the back, said, "Kick it, Jim." I mean, and that was just, that tickled me so much because, you know, that was Lester's humor. You know, of course, Josh just turned around and smiled, and what's funny is I have video of everything I'm putting out audio on, so I get to see the whole thing.
Well, I was thinking, I was going to ask you that. Are some of these, probably not all of them, but are a lot of these then from your TV show?
No, not all of them. No, I've got all just a few things that I put out. I actually haven't put them out yet, my TV show.
Well, you've got a lot to do then.
Oh, yeah. This is basically just what I had accumulated because I started looking for video many years ago when I figured out that there's not that much of it. And, of course, when you do get old video, like I know my dad in Red was probably my first project that I started with, and we had some old footage, and it had been laying around in a barn for years. And I had to go in and totally, you know, spend hours upon hours of putting it back to where it would look good. And so I thought, well, I guess I'm the guy to do that down through the years. I'm the guy that needs to protect that stuff and then keep it in a safe place. And basically that was my passion. And so down through the years, that's what I've done. And my gosh, I probably got 1,500 songs of different artists that are done professionally in old time stuff, and I just want to share it with everybody.
Yeah. So, well, okay then. So the Pioneers and Legends CD, which has a lot of different artists on it, is that and that's one that I got from you through Sammy. And
right.
That's like a lot of different people playing on it.
Well, they're all compilations. All these things are compilations, basically. But, I mean, and I got the footage in different places. Like with Bill Monroe's footage, I shot it myself with our film crew. Went over to North Carolina and shot it. I got some from Jesse McReynolds down through the years. They had also, Jesse had quite an archive of he and Jim that I was able to get some. And of course, Mac Wiseman was a well for me. He had all this stuff, and of course Mac was a hoarder. He kept everything, and he kept it in pristine. A lot of this stuff Mac slept on for probably 30 years in his bed.
Not in the barn. They were close.
No. You didn't. Mac Wiseman, it wasn't put in the barn. It was closer to him, you know. And of course I got just here and there, you know. But like I said, I acquired a lot of it from Mac Wiseman. And then just it started falling in together, and so I got some from the Lewis family, from Little Roy, and then, you know, like I said, this was all video. Also, every bit of it was video that I have, and so it was time to release some of this in the audio form.
I think we're all glad that you did. So, are you the one that's converting it? Are you actually doing the technical part of converting some of these things?
I've got some engineers here in town that there's very few of them that can actually do that. Like I said, I knew I was the one to get it done because I've been here so long, I know everybody, and I know their capabilities and who can do what. And so Hilltop Studios has been converting all this stuff for me.
Ronnie, you might be able to help me with this. I've talked to several artists. Alan Mundy was the first one that told me about one of the albums he did a long time ago on Ridge Runner Records. and it was unavailable. It was on a tape. And then when they find the tape, and I don't know if you have to do this or be aware of it. I'm sure you are. The tape was almost friable, and what they had to do was bake it so that the magnetic pieces or whatever's in that will glue back to the tape, so you can play it one time and get a copy off of it. And then it's kind of a destructive process, as you run it through the machine to copy it. But you have to bake them so that the glue, I guess the glue breaks apart, so you can glue them back on. Is any of your things that old or in that desperate condition?
Well, yes, some of it. Basically, some of the stuff that Jesse McReynolds gave me was on those 1-inch reels.
It works. It works. It's amazing that it works, but it works great.
But you've got to find the machine that you can do it. There's only several. There's a friend of mine in Atlanta that I had a film transfer done several years ago, and now it came out beautifully. It was just gorgeous.
It's amazing.
But the big machines, it's so hard to find. I mean, it's hard to find anybody that can convert from a regular DVD over to a CD.
Well, I'm thinking ahead about that, too, because I'm so glad you're taking this effort now to put all these things on digital, because like you said, that's not that long ago that you'd make that conversion from VHS to DVD or whatever. But I do think it's as we go forward, Ronnie, which is what we're all doing. And while you're putting these things on digital releases, that know-how is going to die off also.
They will. And once they're gone, they're lost forever. Mm-hmm. And you just hate that. One tape of Max I had to send up to New York, to a university up there in New York.
Wow.
It was on that wild of a format. And They took it on as a passion to help me convert it to see what was on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is quite a challenge. But like I said, I figured I was the one to do it. So that's what I enjoy doing. It. And I know that fans and people that enjoy our music are gonna enjoy it for years to come.
What I've gotten from what these are digital re-releases or releases for the first time, the sound is fantastic. I played a lot of it in the first hour of this program that we're talking, and I'll play some more of it. And one of the ones that I was really enjoyed was the Ronnie Reno in concert. Had that been released before?
No, it had not. Basically, I had just recorded that in Roanoke, Virginia, at the Fiddle Fest, they called it, and I wanted to record my part of it. And so, I never released it, but I went back in, excuse me, and it was just wonderful. I was so happy with the way it came out.
It's a great, the songs are great, and the quality is just, I'm telling you, it just blew me away. That's why I dropped one in the first hour.
Well, that
hour
was
of the
outside
show.
In a stadium. I actually did that in a stadium. It was outside, and gentleman that did it was from... he was actually from over in Lynchburg, Virginia, and Tim Austin put me on to him, and basically came over there with a laptop and sat backstage and recorded all that for me.
Well, I mean, you can tell it's outside because it's just a more open sound, but the recording quality is really amazing. I think this whole concept that you're going through, and I know you can be as busy as you want doing it because you have so much to do it, but I mean, what a great idea to now... You keep saying you had to be the one. Well, you do, and to marshal all these things through so they can be released digitally, so people can hear them again and again and again. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, if you haven't figured it out, I'm talking to Ronnie Reno, who's been on Unreal Bluegrass before. But Ronnie, this is a great it's a great concept, and I only have the very tip of the iceberg of what's coming, I think, from what's been sent to me.
Yes, you do, Steve. I appreciate. I enjoy talking to you and to people like you that have the same passion and interest that I do of basically protecting this, because if it wasn't for the old pioneers, you know, I don't think we'd be where we are today.
No, not at all. Not with people like your dad and Sonny and all those Grand Course Flat and Scruggs and Bill Monroe. But yeah, that whole generation, they forged something that will never go away. But we have to influence will always be there, but we need to hear we need to hear those original tracks also, so that the new people who are just now being born, Ronnie, so the people who are just now being born,
right,
so they have the opportunity to see these things, and that's what you're doing now. When they're old enough by then, maybe it'll just be transplanted into your brain. Maybe you won't have to do it. You know, we think we're cutting edge now. You are with the digital release of these things, but heck, by the time people being born now get old enough, Maybe they'll just take a shot and it'll all be in their head. I don't know.
You know, things, it could be. Things, or something under your elbow, and when you put your elbow on the seat, it'll start playing.
You know what? I will bet you somewhere in the lab, someone's thinking, working on that right now.
Oh, definitely. So right here comes a chip.
That's right. Yeah. You want all of this, and they'll sell them. But you know, but well, what's happened is. It's great that you're doing this for just to preserve the music, but CDs and hard product are just so hard to distribute. I get a lot of them, and I'm fortunate, but more and more over the last, maybe just through COVID, but even before that, there's a service that'll give you access for a fee to get downloads, and more labels are sending out to people who are on the air like I am. They just send me the downloads directly, and
exactly.
You know, which is great, except... You know, I used to like to hold the albums. I got to where I liked to hold the CDs.
I did, too. I enjoyed seeing who was on it, who was playing what. But nowadays, if you ain't got Bluetooth, they're not even putting CD players in the new car.
No, they're not. They're not. And funny story, because my car is 10 years old. I just got it back out of the shop for mechanical reasons. The reason I'll never let go of it, it has a 6-CD change player in it.
Oh, you bet.
And I'll never be able to get another one like that. So when I drive on the road, I fill it up with CDs, and that's just, I'm still that backward. But, man, I like that. It's great.
Exactly. You know? I mean, and, of course, you know, that's a la carte. That's wanting to hear what you want to hear.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully this format that we're using now, that they'll be able to do that.
So are you saying, then, that these new digitally released songs and this music is going to be available for like an individual purchase off of some thing, or you can listen to them on Spotify? You're going to have to join that, but will there be a place that people can go to maybe a website where they could buy these things per, you know, if they just want that song, they could buy that song, or how's that going? How do you envision that working?
Well, I can't afford to do that. It's like I'd love to release some on wax and a regular record. But it's so expensive nowadays to do that. You can't do that. So, it's got to be sort of the way they've set it up to do. You know, of course, now you can download off of the regular other download platforms.
Right.
You know, but as far as, and of course that is, you know, that's becoming almost old hat, because people you've got such a bunch to pick from.
I have to tell you, our daughter does that. She's got a CD player in her car, and all she ever does is hook up her phone and Spotify whatever she wants to hear.
Exactly. So I think that's the format that will survive.
Yeah, I think so. Just constant streaming like that. So I didn't state my question very well when I first asked you. Will people be able to go? I know there won't be albums, there won't be singles, there won't be. At some point, will they be able to buy a song from your website?
Sure, that's what I meant.
So they can pay money and download one of these songs or all of them if they want to.
Yes, they can.
I didn't say that very well. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, and what's the website on that if they have to look at that?
Well, it's just go to their whatever your prefer.
Okay.
As far as the downloading, the distribution covers them all.
Okay.
So I'm assuming
that
you could go and look up Mandolin Productions or Ronnie Reno the Pioneers and Legends of Bluegrass.
Yeah, that's what I want, is some keywords for people to look for. So you've given me some of those that would help them get to those. Okay. All right. That makes sense. Hey, listen, man, I cannot let you go without talking about the man, Sonny Osborne. I haven't talked to you since he passed. I loved him like a father. I tell people this all the time, and it's hard to explain that for whatever reason we had an instant connection, Ronnie, and I can't explain it except for 20 years it was, I called him about cars, I called him about football, I called him about banjos. It wasn't just, people tell me, well, you must have just really, I talk to Sonny about music, of course, because he's such a great, but a lot of times we'd just be sitting around by ourselves talking about stuff. And I know your relationship is much deeper and longer than that, but I haven't talked to you since we lost him. It's still a shock to me. I still wish he was around to talk to. I know that you do.
Yes.
But just one of the greatest ever, I think. Not just a musician. I just think he was someone that I confided in. He confided in me, and we were able to keep things, you know, separate from talking about banjos and music.
You know, Sam Bush and I have talked quite a few different times of your timing in life and if you were in the right place at the right time. And, of course, it could be a luck of the draw or it could be because you really tried to be. But fortunately for me, I was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And I got to spend almost 5 years on the road with Bobby and Sonny and, of course, sing in one of the greatest trios that you could ever sing.
I agree.
And, of course, we became good friends. Was I able to travel and sing and make great music with them, we became friends. And I could still talk to Sonny about any issue.
Right.
And he could do the same with me. Naturally, in life, you're going to have a bump or two come through there. And so if I ran into Sonny up in the parking lot at the grocery store, then we'd stand there and talk.
Yeah.
And it was, it was sort of that kind of a friendship, and I was fortunate enough to wear that. You know, like I said, some of the purest harmony I guess you'll ever hear in your life, I think so, was whenever I was fortunate enough to sing with Bobby and Sonny. Our voices blended well, and go back and listen to Arkansas sometime. Mm-hmm. To me, the blend on that record was always the greatest between the three of us.
All right.
And it was like, I remember Porter Wagner told us one time, he said, "You boys are a pipe organ."
That's a great description. That's a great description. And your voice is not only blended well, but I've heard Sonny talk about this, and I have to really step back and really, when I was driving home one time, thinking about what he meant. He said, "My voice was soft, Bobby's voice was soft," and I think you have, by that he means not harsh.
Right.
So I think your voice fit in that mold so well, and he loved that about your singing. And I never thought about Bobby as having a soft voice, but actually when you think about it, the way Sonny's discussing it, he does. And Sonny had that great, always constant voice, and your voice, that was some beautiful stuff. You guys did some great stuff.
I always called them rounded notes. Bobby's notes were so round when he sings, and so was Sonny's, and fortunately so was mine at the time for the blend.
Yeah.
And that is a different, not everybody's voices match.
For the
I guess the enjoyment of the ears that's hearing it. But with the three of us, I mean, whatever we sang, it seemed like people really enjoyed it.
I never heard that description before, Ronnie, about the round. But see, that's another thing that someone with your ears, you're looking for ways to describe that ability to connect and harmonize. And that's, Sonny always told me that music to him was one long line. He said, "I can't explain it, but music is one long line." I said, "Okay, if you can't explain it, I'm not going to ask you to." But it's things like that where you say the rounded. Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. He wouldn't be critical of other people singing. He would just say that it's not a soft vocal that you guys had. So and he was always thinking about who could have been in the band or who couldn't have, and he always said that yours was the best of that blending of that soft sound. And you would think, gosh, if some of their vocals are so loud, but he wasn't talking about loud. I think you hit it.
No,
I think you hit it exactly.
No, it wasn't volume. It was phrasing and how long you hold your note and, of course, the quality of the note, of the vocal you get out of the note you held.
Well, one thing you learned and one thing I've learned is that he never forgot a note or half a note or any kind of anything. He was always, he could tell you what he did in 1957 at 3 o'clock in the studio. That's what he said. Now, how could we prove it didn't happen? But I think what he said made sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. Yeah, Sonny, he loved it so much. When you really got deep with Sonny, he could go about as deep as you wanted to get there.
Right.
And he, of course, he loved the challenge. He enjoyed the challenge of talking like that. And hearing your side of it, and then he'd tell you his side, and then see if both sides matched.
And when he would tell you his side, he wasn't trying to be. He figured people would take it as constructive, and he never.
Exactly.
He would be very honest. He always said, "If you don't want to know, don't ask me."
Exactly.
Because he'll tell you the truth, and he wasn't trying to hurt people. He was trying to say, "If you want to know, this was wrong. This was different. You should do this." And it was like he was right.
Right.
He heard it also on a different level than. Than I do. You hear it that way. I don't hear it that way because I just don't have that in my brain. But Ronnie, it's
Sonny was a national treasure and definitely a national bluegrass treasure if we've ever had one.
I think so. And I think if you take the time, you did it. You saw it. If you listen to the banjo stuff he was doing in the 60s and 70s, and some of those things were so incredibly, they talk about melodic. Well, okay, let's get away from that concept for a second, because that bust in the 60s. But the phrasing and the notes that he played, nobody played them, and I don't think anybody could play them today as clean and quickly as he did. And it wasn't traditional Scruggs style. He was playing stuff that you could categorize as anything, but it was extremely innovative and perfectly played. You listen to those things, it was just perfectly played. It was like he was playing with a toy.
Yeah, between Sonny and my dad, I just assumed that innovation would go on forever and forever and forever, you know, but it doesn't sometimes.
No.
You know, you hit a point to where that people have to catch up, or, you know, and so we were at that point with my dad and Sonny at the end of my tenure with Bobby and Sonny, that people just had to catch up with them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and I don't mean to talk about, I know who your father is. I've never met him, and I don't mean to talk about Sonny with you in any way, exclude Don Reno, who was the genius that I can try to copy. I can't even think what he did. I can't even get it. I can't do it. Because it was just so, and I knew he was a guitar. I knew he had the left hand that I could never match. I know that I'm dead on that.
But, yes, he did.
You know,
he
did. But Don was one of the all time greatest musicians, banjo players ever. Did Sonny ever tell you that story about they were at a festival and a guy comes in drunk into their trailer?
Yes, he
you
did.
You know that one, okay.
Hey, do you have that on tape?
I'm almost certain I do. I'm sure that came up somewhere.
Oh, please look for that, because I was thinking about that the other day, that I would love to hear. He's told me many, many times,
oh,
you
gosh.
Know, but... But I'd love to have it on tape. So if you find it, well,
I will. And for the listeners, the real short version is: a guy comes in, your father Don. His guy's drunk and doesn't know where. He just walks into the to their thing by accident. So your father Don goes and gets his barber tools, and cuts the guy. Doesn't even know it. He wakes up at this. But well, the way Sonny tells it just goes on. It's so funny, but. So he gets this guy shaving a haircut, sends him out the door, and the guy never knew what happened to him.
What was funny about the whole thing is Dad told Sonny, he said, well, your friend over here, he seems like he might have had too much to drink. And Sonny said, well, he's not my friend. He said, I thought he was your friend.
Yeah, that's right. The guy just wandered.
Well, no, I don't know him. I thought he was wandered
in. Yeah, the guy just wandered in.
And Dad looked at Sonny and said, well, it looks to me like he needs a haircut.
And then Sonny said later, he said, I often wondered what his friends thought when he went back to their campsite. Because he didn't know what happened to him. That's one of those great stories. I know that's in one of our conversations, Ronnie. I know it's out there.
If you've got it, I will.
All right. Listen, Ronnie Reno, we'll get together. I keep promising people that when things break up, we'll come back and have a... some kind of a lunch and just have to have an empty chair formation, I guess.
I'll look forward to it, Steve, for sure. And thank you for all you're doing for the music.
You're welcome.
You're also carrying the torch, and we appreciate you so much, Steve.
I appreciate you saying that, Ronnie. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you down the road somewhere.
Sounds great.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.